Thank you for those beautiful songs, for God's anointing on those songs. Remind us that we aren't anything and He's everything. Oh, what privilege it was to be able to sit under the gospel last night. Wasn't that something? You won't ever forget that message. And I've just got a feeling we have another one coming. That's just the way God is. You say, boy, He can't beat that. No, He can't, but God can. We appreciate Brother Leonard Fletcher so much. Hopefully he'll sing another song for us tonight. And pastor of Dyson Grove, Butler, Tennessee, we are honored and privileged. Thank you, Lord, for saying to us, letting us hear Him again.
God bless you, preacher. Amen. Well, it's a joy for me to be here this evening. I appreciate the good singing. I like that last song. A friend of mine, Brother Mark Wheeler, wrote that song. And he was at our church when he was just in the about halfway through writing that song. He played a little bit of it for me on his guitar, and I said, I believe you've got a good one there, brother. And that song truly has great meaning, and I appreciate that tonight. I didn't know the preacher's going to ask me to sing tonight, but anyway, I'll do one for you. Hope I can be a blessing. Amen. When troubles come against me, I feel so overwhelmed. When it seems the more I'm trying, that my troubles seem to swell. When I've reached the end of me, and my faith is growing dim, I hear a still voice whisper, just bring it all to Him. I just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. In the throne room of my Savior, I find a sweet relief. I find strength to bear my burdens. I find comfort for my grief. When my cup is overflowing, as He fills it to the brim, what a blessed consolation when I bring it all to Him. I just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. Boldly at the throne of God, just fall down on your knees. He will hear your trouble cry and meet your every need. If you'll bring it all to Him, when no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. Amen. Amen.
Well, I appreciate the privilege again, like I said, to be here this evening. And I trust the Lord blessed you last night. And every night is different in a meeting. And so the needs that we have tonight are tonight's need, not last night, but tonight. And I pray that the Lord will speak to our heart and touch us tonight in the service. If you have your Bible, take it and turn with us to the book of Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read one verse there, and then I'm going to skip to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Luke chapter 24, and I want to read just one verse, and then I'm going to skip to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Luke 24 and verse 49. Luke 24 and verse 49, Jesus has risen from the grave in this passage, and he is getting ready to ascend back to heaven, and he's giving instructions to his disciples, and these are his words. In verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. And verse number 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight, and I pray that you would enable me now, Lord, as I stand at this place. Without your touch, all is in vain tonight. Lord, we thank you for the good singing tonight. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for the good, sweet spirit that was touching it tonight. And Lord, I pray now that you'd help us, Lord, as we preached last night, that our hearts will be prepared to receive what you have for us tonight here in the service. Lord, thank you for these people and Lord, their presence tonight. And I pray, would you accomplish that you desire in every heart and in every life. And Lord, we're going to give you praise and honor and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. In the scripture that I've read tonight, you find in Luke chapter 24, Jesus is getting ready to go back to heaven, and he's instructing his disciples, and he tells them this. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." He said, "Tarry until you be endued with power from on high." Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, "I'm leaving you now. I will not be here with you." But he said, "I've got the promise of the Father. There's one that's coming." And of course, he was talking of the Spirit of God that would come and indwell each and every one of them. But he said, you need to tarry until you, he said, "Listen, I'm leaving here, you here with a work to do, but you cannot do it unless you're endued with power from on high." That is a necessary thing in all of our lives as the children of God. But we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when we read the litany of things, of characteristics of the last days, and certainly we can identify with most of what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But in verse number 5, he comes down and says, in the last days, he said, they'll have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Jesus, as he was leaving here, he said, there's a work to do. You have something that I need you to do, but you cannot do it until you're endued with power from on high. You can't do it within yourself. You can't do it within just your ability. He said, if you're going to do my work, you've got to have my power operating in your life. But in the last days, he said, there would be men that would have a religious form and they would deny the power thereof. If there's one thing today that I think we need greater than anything in the church world, as I travel from place to place and I see even the place that I'm at, There's a lot of things we have. We can talk about all that we have, and we have wonderful things today in our churches. But the fact of the matter is, all of it is in vain without the power of the Holy Spirit is operating in our midst. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can have the best programs. You can have the best, even the best singing. You can have all of that. All of it's wonderful in its place. But the fact of the matter is, the power of God is what this generation is lacking and looking for in the day we live. Some of you that are older, you remember days gone by in church meetings where the power of God would manifest itself in a way that you've remembered it the rest of your life. But I'm wondering what this generation of young people and kids coming up, what are they going to see? Are they going to see any of that power that all of us have seen in our lives? I don't know about you, but I think we need the power of God. Last year at the church there, we was in a service one Sunday morning. It was just a run-of-the-mill service like we all have. We were just doing our normal, we were singing with the choir. And honestly, it was just an average service. There wasn't nothing special happening or anything like that. We'd sang about two songs with the choir that morning. And of course, we was getting ready to do a final song, and I was going to preach. And all of a sudden, in that third song, it just seemed like something changed. The dynamic changed in the service. About halfway through that third song, I noticed there was a young woman, about 25 years old. She got out of her pew and she came to the altar just weeping. She was over on this side of the altar and she was weeping. And when she came to the altar, I've known her all of her life and I didn't know what her problem was. But when she came to the altar, several of our ladies gathered around her, began to pray. And I just let them deal with her that morning. And the choir was continuing to sing. And finally, after they dealt with her a little bit, I got down to where I could talk to her, and she was weeping. She couldn't hardly contain herself, and I said, "Young'un, what's wrong with you? What did you need?" And she said, "I needed to be saved." And I didn't hear her good. I thought she said she needed. I said, "Did you say you need to be saved?" She said, "No, I needed to be saved." I said, "You mean you just got saved?" She said, "Yes, I just got saved." And boy, I tell you what, I began to rejoice because she had gotten saved. I'm talking about nobody giving an invitation, nobody. I mean, we're just singing a song in the choir. And somebody, all of a sudden, I heard folks shouting on the other side of the altar. When I looked over there, there was a teenage boy in the service that had already got under bad conviction. And he had come to the altar, and some of his family had gathered around him, and he had just got saved on the other side of the altar. And it wasn't nothing I did, nothing any of us did. It's simply when the power of God goes to operating and moving among God's people, then God can accomplish his work in his way in our midst. Well, those two, they were candidates for baptism. Of course, we're up there in the mountains, and Roan Creek runs right by our church. It's, matter of fact, the creek is named after Daniel Boone's roan horse. Daniel Boone came through that territory and they named Roan Creek after his horse. And anyway, we go to the creek to baptize up there, walk straight out of the church. And that Sunday we had the baptismal service at the end of the 11 o'clock service. We all gathered down on the creek bank and such a beautiful scene. And we baptized those two and I dismissed everybody. I said, "All right, I'll see y'all tonight." And everybody was leaving. Everybody was milling out and I was there, and I went back up to the church to change out of my wet clothes, and I thought everybody was gone, and I was flipping off the lights in the church, and I got everything closed up. When I went out back to get in my truck, all of a sudden, the husband of this young woman that had gotten saved come running around the church, and he had the most concerned look on his face, and he's waving at me, and I got out of my truck. I said, "Yeah, what's wrong? What's going on?" He said, "Hey, could you come out here and talk to Kenneth?" I said, well, yeah. And Kenneth was the father of this young lady that had gotten saved. And I knew Kenneth. I knew that his grandmother had just had a stroke, and she was a godly lady. She was getting ready to make the cross, and I thought maybe he was troubled about losing his grandmother. He was close to his grandmother. So I said, "I'll be right there." I pulled my truck around. Now, mind you, everybody else is gone. It's about 20 minutes after 12 on Sunday morning, and the parking lots are all empty.
The highway runs right beside our church there. There's cars passing on the highway. I pull around, and there's two vehicles sitting there. And there's about three or four people. Most of them were his family, but I could not see Kenneth. And I thought, well, where's he at? Kenneth's a real big guy. And anyway, I couldn't see him, so I thought, well, I'll pull up here, and they can tell me where he's at. And I pulled up to where I could see. And when I got up to where I could see, this grown man, I'm talking about big strapping guy, this grown man is down on his knees in the grass with his head laid on the front bumper of his Chevrolet truck, weeping like a baby. I'm talking about broad daylight. I'm talking about out in the parking lot. And I didn't know what all was going on. I slid in. I said, Kenneth, man, what's wrong? And he said, I've carried this as long as I could carry it. I thought he was burdened by about his grandma. And I said, Kenneth, I said, your grandma said she's ready to meet the Lord. She's getting ready to get a new body. She's going to make the crossing. She's going to be fine, Kenneth. He said, I know that, preacher. But he said, I'll never get to see her again. I said, say what? I said, you mean you're not saved, Kenneth? He said, no, I ain't ever been saved. I said, Kenneth, you do know it don't have to stay that way, don't you? I said, let me ask you something, Kenneth. I said, do you believe that Jesus came from heaven's glory, came down, robed himself in flesh, was born in a manger in Bethlehem, grew up and went about doing good, healing the sick and raising the dead, and at the age of 33 and a half years climbed an old rugged hill called Calvary, and there he laid down his life that all of us could be saved? He said, I believe that. I said, do you believe that on the third day when the stone was rolled away that Jesus had gotten up with victory over death, hell, and the grave? He said, I believe that with all of my heart. I said, well, if you believe that, you're going to have to believe that where it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, Kenneth, would you like to be saved? He said, I sure would. And right there we made an altar out of the front bumper of a Chevrolet truck, and Kenneth got saved by the grace of God. Choir wasn't singing. Nobody wasn't giving an invitation. I wasn't doing anything, but the fact of the matter is the power of the Holy God broke down a grown man. Boy, you don't see much of that in these days, but I'm glad the power of God's still able to get sinners today. Amen. I said, I'm glad, boy, I tell you what, if God can save a man on a Chevy truck bumper, he can save him anywhere. Only thing I hated was it wasn't a Ford. Because if it had been a Ford, he'd have got saved and announced his call to preach all at the same time. Amen. Amen. But can I say to you what we're lacking today in our churches is the power. There's a lady in my church, she sent me a picture of something one day. She saw something and she said, I know how you think. I know you're very illustrative in your preaching. And she said, I thought of you when I saw this. And she said, I know eventually you'll end up preaching a message on this. And I put it back. I didn't think much about it. And I looked at it a few times. And then all of a sudden, God began to touch my heart about it. And I brought this thing that she sent me a picture of tonight. And everybody here is going to be able to identify with what I brought tonight. She sent me a picture of something that everybody here, you probably got one at your house. If you don't have one, you have probably got some in the church here, probably have some in the sound room, but this is a power strip. Anybody ever seen a power strip? Well, you probably got one at your house, or a very helpful thing. I got to doing a little research. She sent me that picture. The first power strip was invented in 1929 by a man by the name of Carl Peterson, and he called it a table tap. And that's where the first one came. Of course, they've modified it and they improved it and down through the years and become a very useful thing that you can have to utilize in your home. But the reason she sent me that picture, she said, this reminded me of how church people are today. And you want to know where this thing was plugged in the picture she sent me? She sent me a picture and it was plugged into itself. Like that right there. She said, that's like a lot of church people today. Instead of being plugged into the right source, they're just so into themselves. Don't have time for God, don't have time for the things of God, but they're just plugged in to themselves. I began to think about this old power strip. Do you realize that the whole reason for its existence is that power might flow through it? This power strip cannot create any power on its own. Matter of fact, it has no power tonight like it is right here. But if you get it plugged into the power source, then it's got all the power at its disposal that wherever the source is, it's got all the power at its disposal. Can I say to you, every one of us, as a child of God, it was God's intention that every one of us be endued with power from on high. It's God's will that every one of us operate our lives in the power of God, that His power might influence those who are around us, hallelujah, to His name. I don't know about you, praise God. We need preachers that's got the power of God on their life. We need singers that sing with the touch and the anointing of God on their lives. We need Sunday school teachers filled with the Holy Ghost power of God in this day. Amen. We need saints of God that just operate in the power that's available to every child of God. I'm glad God's not picky. Those who will come to Him, He said, if you'll come to Me and seek Me, He said, I'll fill you. Hallelujah. I'm glad that power is available, hallelujah, to His name. I got to looking at this old thing right here. In order for it to be utilized like it's supposed to be, it has to be hooked up. There's a connection issue. You remember when you got plugged in? Do you remember? I got plugged in a revival meeting. I was 9 years old. Old brother Clarence Stanfield that's in heaven, old man of God, was preaching. I can't tell you what he preached that night because I'd been under conviction for several weeks, and it didn't matter what he preached that night. I was done ready hit. I was done swinging over hell on a rotten grapevine, and I was ready to get saved. And that night, I don't remember a whole lot other than the fact is I knew I needed Jesus, and I knew I couldn't save myself. And that night, I got plugged in. Didn't know all about it that night. Still don't know much about it, but the fact of the matter is, there was a day that I can remember that I got plugged up in the right place. I thought about this old plug. It's got three prongs on it. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. If you get plugged in there, you'll be grounded real good. Amen. I'm glad there's a God that's able to help us tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad for the day you got saved by the grace of God? I'm glad for the day that He washed my sins away. I'm glad for the day that He set me on a new path in life. I'm thankful for the day that He plugged me in, hallelujah, to His will, amen. I thought about this old power strip. It has to have a connection. It has to have a power source. Thought about this. This is how a lot of church folk are. I could lay this power strip right here on the front pew, and I could lay it there and leave it there. And if nobody moved it, every time you came to church, it would be here. But the fact of the matter is, it wouldn't be helping nobody until it got plugged in. Matter of fact, I thought about this. It would lay here long enough, after a while we'd get to bragging on how faithful it was. And I'm thankful for faithful people. Don't you get me wrong tonight. I am thankful for faithful people. But I'm going to tell you what I'm thankful for as a pastor. I've got some that are faithful, but they're just there. But what I'm thankful for is them people that's there. Says, where can I plug in, preacher? Where can I be a help? What can I do? Amen, I'm preaching now. What can I, preacher, what can I do to be a help in the service? Thought about this. We need some people today that are not just occupying a pew, but we need to come and say hallelujah. When I get there, I'm going to get in on it. Amen. I don't know about you. I remember when I was just a young man, and I was on fire for God. I got to looking around in the churches, and I saw two crowds. One crowd looked like this, just there, just waiting till time to get out. And then there's another crowd that they got there to get in. One crowd's just sitting there riding the pew. The other crowd's just saying, bless Him, Lord. I mean, one crowd's looking at their watch, the other crowd's saying hallelujah to his name, wiping tears and getting their money's worth. Amen. I said, if I've got to go to church, and I do, I'm going to church. I wanted to get in on that crowd that's enjoying it while they're there. Amen. I don't know about you, praise God, but we need some people to get plugged in, amen, to the right source and the right place at the house of God. You see, this little thing right here, you can plug it in, but still it's got a control switch on it. You can even plug it in and then somebody else can control whether the power flows through it or not. See, you can be saved tonight, but that don't mean God's going to operate through your life unless you give him the control to. You ever had the Lord impress on your heart to do something and then you resisted it and you didn't do what God asked you to do? I promise you this, he'll find somebody else that will. I'll never forget, I was just a young man. There was a little lady in the church, and she used to bless me so, a little lady named Annie Short. Annie didn't hold a position in the church. She didn't sing in the choir. She didn't do anything. She wrote the church van of the church. But man, when the choir would get to singing, that little lady would go to praising the Lord, clapping her hands and waving her hands in the air, and boy, it'd just run all over me. I said, Lord, I'd like to have a little bit of what she's got. Amen. I got to thinking about that. I said, Lord, I ain't never praised you openly, but Lord, if you'd let me, I believe I'd just have a spell. You better be careful what you tell the Lord you'll do, because he'll find out if you meant it or not. I'll never forget, I was sitting on the front pew. I wasn't even a pastor at this time. This was in my home church. I was sitting on the front pew. I was just a young preacher. I hadn't never really openly praised him like I should. And that night the choir got to singing, man, some of them little old granny women got to waving handkerchiefs, and some of those men are wiping tears, them older men wiping tears, and man, they're having a good time. I could feel it building in my soul that night. I said, oh Lord, this is it, Lord. You're going to let me praise you. You're going to let me. And about the time I should have just openly, I'm talking about probably should have had a spell, I quenched the Spirit of God. I said, no, I can't do that. They're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I've lost my mind. And I sat there and I quenched the Spirit of God, and I felt so cold on the inside, and all of a sudden, fella sitting right next to me on the front pew, all of a sudden he threw both hands up in the air and went to shouting. It sounded like he was on a roller coaster at Carowinds. I'm talking about he was in the glory. He's shouting so it'd make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And I was sitting there, I said, God, why did you have to give my blessing to him? Why couldn't you took it halfway across the church? Why didn't you come over here with it? Why did you have to dump my blessing on the guy sitting next to me? And the Holy Ghost said, well, I just found the first available one that would do what I asked him to do. I've got news for you right now. If you won't do what God asks you to, he'll find somebody else that will. But I don't know about you. I don't want to have control. I want to give God control tonight. Hallelujah to his name. Do you realize you might be the key to a service? I was in a meeting in West Virginia a few years ago. I had preached at this church several years in a row. Good people. They loved me and I loved them. As I was heading up on that Monday to go start the meeting, there was an excitement in my heart. I just felt like God was going to do something great in the meeting that week. And man, I got there that night, and I'll be honest with you, I preached that night and God plugged me in a way I hadn't been plugged in a long time. I'm talking about preach, had tons of liberty, preached a message that everybody in the country could move on. And I preached and had such a great time, and I gave the invitation that night. And when I did, out of a crowd of almost 250 people, when I gave the invitation, the only people that came to the altar that night was the pastor on this side. He came to the altar, and there was a little handicapped man on the front pew over here that came forward. I have a crowd of 250 people. I preached with liberty that night. I felt the touch of God. I knew in my heart God wanted to do something in that meeting. And yet, when I gave the invitation, only two people moved. One was the pastor and the little man. I thought, well, maybe I was off tonight, Lord. I didn't feel like it was, but maybe I was. I came back in the next night, and I said, well, maybe it'll be better tonight. I preached again that night. It was harder preaching the second night. Gave the invitation, and guess who came to the altar again? The pastor on this side came to the altar. The little man, the handicapped man, came to the altar over on this side. The rest of the crowd just stood there looking, just not with a need one in their life. I preached on Wednesday night, came back in, and I'll be honest with you, by this time I was getting a little frustrated. Here I am staying away from home, away from my wife, and I'm thinking, man, these people don't want anything. They don't want revival. They want nothing. And see, that's the thing. This is our generation in a nutshell. We ask God to move, but we're not willing to move ourselves. We're asking God to do something we're not willing to do. Amen. And on Wednesday night, I preached, and the invitation, the exact same thing happened again. I'll be honest with you, my flesh was bothering me a little bit. And that night after it was over, after the service was over, the pastor was getting ready to dismiss them, and I said, Pastor, could I say one thing before you let them go tonight? And he said, sure, preacher. And I went back to the pulpit. I've never done anything like this in a meeting in all the years I've been on the road. I said, folks, y'all going to have to forgive me tonight. I said, I need you to forgive me. I've been a little frustrated with y'all because y'all ain't nobody moving in this meeting. I felt like God's wanting to do something great. I said, so you forgive me. My flesh is kind of reared up on me, and I'm asking you to forgive me. They just stood and looked at me, didn't say anything. Pastor dismissed that night. And I said, well, after that little pep talk, surely it'll be better tomorrow night. I got in there and preached on Thursday night, gave the invitation, and in the invitation, the pastor came on this side, the little handicapped man came on this side, and they all just stood back there and looked at me. I stand there as the pastor is getting ready to dismiss and everything, and I was thinking in my mind, hallelujah. Tomorrow night's Friday night. I'm going to get my shortest message I got. I'm going to leave my truck running in the parking lot. Don't judge me till you've been there. But the pastor was getting ready to dismiss the service on Thursday night, and all of a sudden, there was an elderly lady in the back of the church, stepped out in the aisle and started walking toward the front of the church. And I've never seen anything like this in a service in all the years I've been going. But she had both hands lifted up in the air, and she is, wailing as loud as she can. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I've been cold all week long, and you've been wanting me to move, and I wouldn't move. And God, I'm sorry. As she come down the aisle, she's confessing out loud that God had been asking her to move all week, and she wouldn't do it. And she came to the altar and fell in the altar. I looked, and her husband was right behind her, just a weeping. Next thing I know, I look, and here comes some more, and tears are flowing, and the altar fills up, and people are, getting help. And all of a sudden, the little preacher, he got so excited, he didn't know what to do with it. And after they prayed, he said, all right, y'all are dismissed. I wanted to look at him and say, dude, I've preached my heart out all week, and we finally got something going, and you turned them loose to go home. But came in on Friday night, and you ain't going to believe this, but I didn't think I was going to get to preach. People standing up all over the church. I was just like Sister So-and-so. I've been singing in the choir, and I was cold, and God was dealing with me to move, and I wouldn't move. People started confessing all over the building on Friday night's meeting about how God had been speaking to them. You see, what they were doing was this, hitting that switch. You see, this old power strip's got not only a control switch on it, but it's got what's called a surge protector. Don't want too much power coming through. It's like some Baptists I know. They want just enough salvation to keep them out of hell, but they don't want enough that they can surrender everything in their life to God. Thought about this old power strip. There's three things about it, and I'm done tonight. Number one, there's the purpose it was created for. This thing ain't good for nothing except for power to flow through it. Do you realize how you'll find your purpose in life? It's when you get plugged into the will of God for you. A lot of young people, they're looking for answers in life of what am I going to do in life? And those are normal questions we all
face.
Where am I going to go to school? Who, God, do you have a mate out there for me? God, what do you want me to do? What vocation in life do you want me in? And this is what I always tell them. I give them this advice. I say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I got news for you. If you'll plug in the right place, God will order the steps of your life. Do you realize there was a day, I'm glad I had some people that helped plug me in the right place. I was just a young man, had no clue what I wanted to do with my life. I said, when I get out of school, I'm going to get me a job, work, try to have a little family. And that was my plans for life. Matter of fact, I had plans beyond some of that. And the last thing I ever thought I would be a preacher. The last thing I ever thought I would be a preacher. But you see, because some people plugged me in the right place, they plugged me in the house of God. They plugged me into the right things. I remember my daddy, he come in one day, I was just a boy, and he said, boy, I bought you a guitar today. Well, I didn't know how to play a guitar. And he said, I bought you, and he bought me a little old cheap guitar. He said, I think your Uncle Dwight can show you a few chords. And he did. He showed me a few chords. Next thing I knew, I was playing that thing a little bit. And because he plugged me into that. And it wasn't long after that, we started singing a little bit as a family. My dad and my sister and my aunt, we'd sing. They always had these Saturday night singings in them country churches. And I'll never forget my daddy. He said, son, get your guitar. I was about 21-year-old, I guess, something like that, maybe 22. And he said, get your guitar. We're going Saturday night over to Flat Springs Baptist Church to sing. They're having singing over there. I said, Dad, I can't go. He said, why can't you go? I said, Dad, it's Saturday night. I don't have a girlfriend, and there ain't going to be no eligible girls at that church tonight. I was real spiritual. He said, boy, get your guitar. We're going. So I did. Got over there that night, and there's two or three groups sang, and all of a sudden there's a man and woman there, Paul and Linda Tester. They said, we're glad to have Paul and Linda Tester. Going to let them sing tonight. I wasn't halfway paying attention. I did. She played the piano. He stood beside the piano. They sang, and they did a good job. I mean, good singers, and she played the piano good. I wasn't halfway paying attention. I'm just, you know, after the service, talking a little bit to them. Wasn't really thinking about nothing. Got in the car, getting ready to leave. My aunt was in the car. She said, did you know Paul and Linda Tester that was there tonight? I said, no, I didn't. She said, yeah, that was Paul and his daughter, Linda. I said, that was his daughter? You mean tell me there's an eligible girl in the building and I didn't know it? And she said, yeah, said they go to Zion Hill Baptist Church up on Highway 321. The funny thing happened, about 2 weeks after that, I got word my pastor was going to preach a revival at Zion Hill Baptist Church on Highway 321. I got the awfulest burden to back my preaching revival that you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it got to the point, I was apologizing to God. I said, God, I'm sorry. I've let my preacher down long enough. If you'll give me the gas money, I'm going to go every night to that meeting over there in North Carolina. And sure enough, I sure did. But I think it worked out pretty well. We just celebrated 37 years of marriage. So I think, and she's played my piano the whole time. She's helped me write them songs. You see, because somebody plugged me in the right place. Because somebody said, you know what? This will help your life if you'll plug into it. Young person, find something to plug into that'll benefit you the entirety of your life. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. There's the purpose that it was created for. Find your purpose and you'll find it in the will of God. Number two, there is the potential of when you get plugged in. You see, this thing, you can plug it in. And it'll have power running through it. But the potential is, there's a lot of other places on there for somebody else to plug in. I wonder who's looking to your life. Who do you work with that's watching your life that they're just looking for somewhere to plug in? They're looking for somebody that's real. They're looking for somebody that's got a touch of God on their life that can show them the way. Hallelujah to his name. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for the potential that God gives us, that we can reach others with the same power that we've been given. There's the potential that it has. And then finally, there's the place of this power strip. What do you mean by that, preacher? You may have a nice home, maybe you've remodeled a den or something and you have friends over.
And you tell them, say, come in here and look, see what we've done with this room. New carpeting and woodwork on the walls, different things. And you're proud of what you've done. But nobody ever has done this. They never said, hey, come in here in this room and look at these power strips I've got in here. Because power strips are really, they're not to be seen. Most time people plug them in, try to hide them, get them out of sight. The place of a power strip is not for it to be seen, but for what it does to be seen. Not far from where we're at over there, we're about 45 minutes from Bristol, Virginia, where they have the Bristol Motor Speedway over there. If you're a NASCAR fan, and I've never been a big NASCAR fan, just never could get interested in it. I'm not against it. I just never did like it much. My wife likes to watch it. She used to like to watch it and everything. She rooted for that guy, Mark Martin. Y'all remember Mark Martin, that race car driver? Boy, I got her mad one day. I looked at her and I said, honey, I'm a little troubled that you're rooting for that fellow, Mark Martin. She said, well, what's wrong with it? I said, I got to looking at his car. I said, he's got a 6 on one door, a 6 on the other, and a 6 on the roof. I said, that's 666. And I said, I read in the book of the Revelation that number, and there's a mark attached to it. She got so mad she wouldn't talk to me for 2 days. But we go over there, they go to the Bristol. Every year at Christmas, they have what's called Speedway and Lights, and it goes to the children's charities over there. Millions of Christmas lights and decorations. People come from far and near. I'm talking about there'll be hundreds of thousands of people that'll come, and you drive through this thing. It'll take you 2 hours to drive through it, and you eventually end up, you get to drive actually on the track inside Bristol Motor Speedway, and anybody that's a NASCAR fan, you've heard them talk about the high banks of Bristol. Well, you never really, you don't realize how high they are until, and you get on there and you're trying to drive on those high banks around that. But I'm going to tell you something, even though you're not a NASCAR fan, when you load a Honda minivan full of grandbabies a-hooping and a-hollering over Christmas lights, and you start taking the high banks at Bristol, there's a little Dale Earnhardt will come out in every one of us, amen. I'm talking about you're swapping paint, praise God, with Datsuns or Nissans or whatever is coming your way. Amen. Can I say to you, but you see, in all of that display of lights, I know there's a lot of these along the route, but you don't never see them. You just see the light that they produce. Can I say to you today what God wants every one of us to do? Is to be an instrument that the power of God can operate through our life. People need to see the light in us. And this is so true. Most of the time, people that's got the light bright in their life, they don't even recognize it themselves. Others do, though. Other people see it. I got news for you. I don't want to be just one that just lays around. But I want to be one that's plugged in. I want to be one that the power of God can operate. I want to give him full control. And I want somebody else to be able to be blessed and plug into. Father, thank you for what you've done for us tonight. I pray that you take this message to the hearts of this people. Would you help us tonight as we give this invitation, Lord, if there's somebody here. Maybe they just, Lord, they just needed to be reminded. You told the disciples, you said, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Lord, I pray you'd help us all to operate within the power you have for us. Lord, I pray you'd help us all that we would give you control. Lord, not of our own selves and our own selfish desires, but Lord, may we operate as you'd have us to, completely obeying your will. And Father, I ask you tonight, just help each one here. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight just thankful for the day they got plugged in the right place. And Lord, you may want to help them tonight. Lord, we're going to give you praise for what you do in Jesus' name. Let's stand. If I could get our sister to come to the piano tonight. If you will, just play something tonight, if you will, and get us a song to play for invitation. I want to ask you tonight, if God spoke to your heart in this message tonight, do you need to find a place here at this altar and say, preacher, I want to do my best. I want the power of God to operate through my life.
Preacher, I got some people that need to see the light. Preacher, I've got I don't want to be just one that just don't find my purpose in life, but I want to find the purpose God has for my life. Maybe some of you young people say, I want God to help me. Preacher, I want to plug in the right place. As they play tonight, whatever you've got, sis, just go ahead and play. I want to ask you tonight, do you need to come plug in? Or some of you ought to thank God for the day that you got plugged. Somebody, a mama or a daddy or grandma, grandpa, got you plugged in the right place. And it set you on a course for your life that's been a course in life of blessing. I wonder how many more tonight say, preacher, I just want to come. Preacher, I want to be one of them that will obey his impulses. I want to obey the Spirit when God begins to move and begins to talk. I don't want to quench him. I don't want to grieve him. I want to be obedient to him, preacher. I wonder how many more tonight. Anybody else tonight? Maybe there's somebody here and you say, preacher, I haven't come to the altar, but I've got some needs or burdens in my life that I need somebody to pray for me. Is there anybody like that tonight? You'd lift your hand, take it right back down, say, preacher, I need somebody to pray for me. There's a situation I'm facing I need help with. Preacher, would you pray for me? Anybody like that tonight? I see that. God bless you. Anybody else tonight? Lift your hand, take it right back down. You may be here, say, preacher, I just don't know that I've been born again. I'm not sure if I've been saved. Preacher, would you pray for me? Anybody like that tonight while we're waiting? Just a moment. Many are praying here. Many are coming tonight. They're saying, Lord, would you use me as an instrument and a vessel that your power could flow through my life? I wonder, anybody else? Anybody else tonight? Obey God tonight. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that you take this message now to the hearts of this people. Lord, I pray that, Lord, it'll impact their life. God, I pray that you'd help them to operate in such a manner every day of their life that the power of God could operate and work and move. Lord, that others might see the light of the glorious gospel in their life. Father, I ask you now to meet every need, God, that we have. Lord, bless this church and may the power of God, Lord, continue to work in the midst of this people. Father, we thank you for what you've done. Help us now, Jesus. We pray tonight. Lord, we're going to give you praise for all you do. In Jesus' name, preacher, you come tonight.